Just be sure. Okay. So we left off last week. We canceled because of the simcha and the shul. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi opened the wedding that he made for his daughter. And last 2 weeks ago, it's worthwhile doing a little bit of review. We started a new topic of Kashem she'asur leba'al, kach asur leboel. So we began our discussion with the whole David HaMelech situation. We noted the machlokas in Chazal, whether or not there was actually a chet involved. We noted that's the machlokas in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Ksubis. And we noted how we try to struggle with that. We take it as a given and as absolutely true. David HaMelech was one of the greatest Jews in the history of Am Yisrael and in history of the Jewish historical narrative. You know, David HaMelech obviously stands with the greatest, with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Avos, the rest of the Yishpizin, and Moshe and Aaron and the like. But you have to deal with how one day in the Gemara really holds there was a chait there. It's not an easy thing to balance, but we spoke about that. And then we started the more halachic element of the sugya, of Kashem Shasur Lubal, Kachasur Lubal. So we started with, let's just review the sources that we saw, because we kind of left off with a bit of a question in the Rambam. And because it was 2 weeks ago, I think it's worthwhile to revisit the sources that we left off with. So if you look in section 3, this is page 3, source 9, we noted that the Mishnah in Sota Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis has two sources for this notion of the Isur Lubal and Isur Lubal, this notion that when there is a consensual marital affair, there's a prohibition both on the husband and on word that we're using now is paramour, right? That was our decided word that we'll be using. Make sure you get both the regular Maimakomas and the supplement also. Yeah, just the supplement is right there. So source 9, Kashem Shamayin Bot Kenosa, Kach Amayin Bot Kenosa. Shenemar Uva'u Uva'u. So the Mishnah begins by saying that when she drinks the waters, again, this is page 3, source 9, it checks not only her, but the Bo'el as well. And if she was indeed guilty, this suspected individual will suffer the same fate that she does. And then the Mishnah says, Kashem she'asur lebaal, kach asur leboel, she'namar nitme'a b'nitme'a, divrei Rabbi Akiva. There's a prohibition both upon the baal and the boel, and the individual with whom she had this affair. And Rabbi Akiva says, the makor is nitme'a v'nitme'a, the additional vav includes the boel. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, kach ha'yador sechar ben akatzav, Rabbi Omer Shnepa Amim Hamur Meparsha Nitma Vinitma Echel Baal Echel Baal. Rabbi says the makor is a little bit different. It's the fact that you have the word appear multiple times, the word Nitma appears multiple times. One of those Nitma'as includes the Baal, one of them includes the Boel. We began noting at least what that machlokas about the source might indicate about the conceptual nature of the Isra Baal and Isra Boel. And we'll continue to develop that, maybe not tonight, but hopefully next year. So that's the source for this notion of Kashem Shasur Lebaal, Kachasur Lebaal. Then we came to a challenging Rambam in source 10, page 4. Rambam paskins as follows. Ketana shehisia aviha. You have a young girl below the age of 12. Her father arranges a shidduch for her, so she's married to a man, she's less than 12, and Zines Bertzona Ne'esra Al Baila. Fikach Mekanimla. Rambam says that if she engages in a consensual relationship, we noted the importance of that word Bertzona, we'll note it again, then she is prohibited to her husband. She's a katana.
How can she have das?
So, namely, it wasn't physical coercion. It wasn't physical coercion. She wasn't grabbed and forced. Okay? She agreed. We'll talk about it. It doesn't work for the full kinoy and stira. We're not going to undergo the entire sota process in the Beis HaMikdash for this katana, but we can remove her ksuba. And then we noted the Hasagas Aravid. The Aravid asks a very important question in the Rambam. If you look at the underline in the Hasagas Aravid, Omer Avraham, Palo Amru Pitoi Katana Onesu. The Aravid asks a very obvious question. He says, Pitui Katana, a Katana, as we said, as Morty was just highlighting a moment ago, even when she engages in a so-called consensual relationship, halachically, it takes on the status of ones, of a relationship that was not consensual, that where she was forced. She doesn't have the requisite da'as legally to engage in that kind of relationship, and the halacha deems it ones. And we know that in cases of ones, a woman is not prohibited to her husband. The only case where there is a prohibition is in what situation? In the case of an Ishus Kohen. So the Ravid is asking, how can you, the Rambam, paskin that this katana is made is prohibited to her husband, if this has the halachic status of ones, and we know that in all cases of ones, a woman is permitted to her husband. If the Rambam were talking about an Eishes Kohen, then the Ravid wouldn't have any objections against what the Rambam is saying. You know, there's ones, so she would be prohibited. But given that the Rambam makes a generic statement, it doesn't sound like the Rambam is limiting this to a Kohen. How can the Rambam say that? And we noted that the Ravid has one additional question. The Ode, Hasra'a l'ketana, eina hasra'a, she'ein la da'as. The Ravid again, source 10, says that you can't have an isser to the husband. Why? Because hasra, the warning that is necessary in general to administer onesh based in, doesn't work for a katana. Because why? Because she doesn't have das. Ela imdinsa vada yasri l'vayla kohen. He agrees that if she's prohibited to her husband if he's a kohen. Because even in cases of onesh, there's a prohibition.
Why does the Ravid not like his first answer, Peter katana onesh?
That's the kasha. In other words, if it's ones, then why should there be any prohibition? If in cases of ones, there's no prohibition to the husband.
Okay, so he's saying it's ones.
And therefore she should be...
I have to give a second reason now.
He's giving another kasha on the Rambam. Another kasha. Number one, it's ones.
Right.
Number two, the Ravid is assuming that you need hasra, and you can't have hasra. Two problems with the Rambam. Now, in general, what is hasra necessary for? What do you mean that warning? If you do this, then you will receive... If you do sin X, you will receive onesh Y. Not kinui. Kinui stir is something different. Kinui stir is when the...
Punishment.
For onesh. You generally need hasra'a in order for basin to administer a punishment. In order for basin to administer a punishment, hasra'a is required.
So he's thinking taking away the ksuba is the punishment.
So it's not necessarily obvious, however. No. He's saying that creating the isser for the husband, on the husband, should require hasra'a. That's the Ravid's assumption. Now, as far as I know, there's no Gemara that indicates that there's such a requirement, that Hasra'a is necessary to create an Isser Labal. We'll have to talk about why the Ravid makes that assumption and whether or not the Rambam necessarily agrees to it. If you look in source 11, Rambam Yisra Biyah, the Rambam really repeats the same thing. You have the same machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Haba'ala Ketana, Eishes HaGadol. One who sleeps with a Ketana, who's the wife of a Gadol, Im Kidsha Aviha, Harezev Chenek, Bechenek, Pipetura Miklum. If her father was the one who arranged the marriage, as opposed to her older brother in cases of Miyun, there's an Onesh Deoraisa, there's Misa Deoraisa, but she's Petura, she's for the Boa. Look at the next line. Finesra al Baila Kamasha Bayarnu Behilchol Sota. Rambam again says, he affirms his position that she's prohibited to her husband. Rambam, source 11. Then the Ravid says again, Amar Avram, Lo Yadati Lama Ne'aseras Al Baila Yisrael, Sharei Amru Pitu Ketana Onesu. The Ravid repeats his kasha. He doesn't repeat the Hasra point, but his strongest question, the whole notion of Pitu Ketana Onesu, the Ravid repeats here. How can you, the Rambam, tell me that she's Asura to her husband if clearly this has the halacha of Ones? It's a strong kasha of the Ravid.
On the Rambam.
Now, we noted last week that methodologically there are two ways of approaching this issue. Whenever you have, this happens very frequently in halacha, you have two issues that intersect with one another in a particular case. We have to assess each issue and what the respective positions of the Rishonim are on that issue. So here we have two questions. Number one, Pitoy Ketana Onesu, how do the Rambam and the Ravid understand that? Number two, the question that interests us for the evening is what, how do they understand the principle of Kshem Shasur Labal Kachasur Labal? In terms of Pitoy Ketana Onesu, we noted that there do seem to be different positions in the Rishonim as to how much it's really like ones. Is it really the same exact thing as physical coercion? Or is there some degree of ratzon? We noted that in Tosos, this comes up in terms of the Svek Sveka issue. We know that Svek Sveka is a double suffix. So let's say one of the Svekos is that the woman was raped. The other suffix is that when she was a katana, she had a consensual relationship. Two Svekos. Is that a double suffix or is that a single suffix? Are those two separate Svekos? Now, halachically, the question is it ones or is it not ones? Okay? The question is, should those be viewed as two separate svekos? On the one hand, they are two different b'metzios, they're two different circumstances. One is a gedola who was physically coerced into a sexual relationship. The other case is where you have a katana who was consensual, at least she wasn't physically coerced, but has a din of onus. So are those two separate sveikos, or are they one suffix? Those are two deos and tosfos. Now, that may hinge on how you view pitu ketana onus. It may hinge on a svek sveika question also. Is svek sveika about mitzias issues or about halachic issues? But in any event, it could hinge on how much is it really the same thing as onus. If it's not halakhically the same thing as onus, it's somewhat distinct, those will be two separate sveikos. If they're really the exact same thing, then there will only be one suffix. We know that that's in Tosas, and that could be the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says Bertzona. Perhaps the Rambam holds that Pitui Katana Onesu is true, but she still does have some form of Ratzon, and therefore she will be prohibited to her husband. The Ravid holds Pitui Katana Onesu means it's Ones Gamur, it's as if she was physically coerced, and therefore there won't be any Isser. We know that that's one possibility in explaining the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, but I'm going to go in a different direction and suggest that at least perhaps this is a machlokas about the nature of Kshem Shazur Lebal Kachasur Lebal. But before we resolve the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, let's address another issue in the Rishonim. Another problem. This time not with the Rambam, but with the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, when most people talk about the sugya of Kshem Shazur Lebal Kachasur Lebal, they don't think about the Mishnah and Sota, which mentions that principle. They don't think about the Rambams that we just learned. They think about Source 13. Source 13 is a Tosas in Ksubas Daf Gimel. It's a very famous Tosfos. It's a very famous Tosfos. It's a long Tosfos with many important ramifications for a number of different sugyas. Most people, when you say you're learning Kshem Shazur Lebal Kachasur Lebal, will reference this Tosfos. So what does Tosfos say? The context is a Gemara that tries to explain why, in general, in Talmudic times, a Basula would get married when? The first Mishnah in Ksubos, Basula Nises Biyom Haravi. Okay? She would go on Wednesday. And then the Gemara tries to explain why they changed it in certain circumstances. Basically, the Gemara says that in certain circumstances, there would be this concept of Bia Behegmon Tchila. The local political rulers would take a bride on her wedding night, and they would... Oh, I don't know what the Latin term for it is. Yeah. No, historically it was true. It's it wasn't just against Jews. It was in many cases throughout history and throughout different geographic regions. The local political ruler would take the bride on her wedding night. So the Gemara says that there would be these tsnuos and prutzos. The tsnuos would give up their lives instead of engaging in this activity with the local political ruler. They would take the bride. Yeah. And you would sleep with the bride.
Well, that's why Syrian weddings, if you see a Syrian wedding, it says 6 o'clock, it doesn't start till 11 o'clock at night.
So what, they're trying to...
No, I'm not... there's a tradition. I say, if you look at a Syrian wedding, it says on the invitation, the wedding is 6 o'clock, everybody knows. It's 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
So you're saying why? Because that's...
I thought that's because of the...
Because they would try to trick it? Or
they
trick him?
They would try to grab the women, so they would come 2 hours later. The king wouldn't stay around, or the agents wouldn't stay around.
No, but then you should have done the opposite. You should have made it at 11 o'clock and then really had it at 6. Hopped it in already. Sorry. Kitzer. It's like confusing the satan. It's one of those things we don't fully understand, but, we're fine. So that you'd have this Bia Behegmon Tchila. So the Gemara says, V'lidrosh lehu de'ones shari. Let us teach these women that if it was ones, they'd still be permitted to their husbands, there wouldn't be a problem. Now the Gemara asks as follows, V'im tomar. V'aminam aperek ben sora rumore. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin to find dollar Aleph. If we switch to Sanhedrin, we'll Ezra Hashem see this Gemara. Al kol averos ya'avor va'al yehareg, chutz me'avodas kochavim, v'giloy arayos, u'shvichos damim. How can you tell these women that it's permitted to go and engage and sleep with this local political ruler if the Gemara says explicitly that one of the three averos which one must give one's life for is giloy arayos? They should be obligated to give their lives rather than going to sleep with this political ruler. The Tirez Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, "Ein chayavin misa al be'ilas mitzri." There's no chiyuv misa on be'ila from a non-Jew. Drachmana afkarei lazarei demitzri d'chsev v'zir masusim zir masam. Because there's this concept of rachmana afkarei lazarei. Now the particular halachic application of this, as it appears in the Gemara, is in terms of a nachri's lineage or lack of lineage, lack of familial relationships. But Rabbeinu Tam says that means that there's no chi of misa, there's no capital punishment on bia with an achri. We might see raya. And Rabbeinu Tam brings a proof. The Gemara asks, how is Esther allowed to live with Achashverosh? Why? Because it was in public. We know that another situation in which one's obligated to give one's life is farhesia, when it's in front of 10 other Jews. The Gemara asks, how was Esther able to go live with Achashverosh? It was b'farhesia. What should have been the more obvious question?
It was
what?
Onus.
I'm sorry?
Onus.
What do you mean, onus?
It was taken by the king. Taken by the
That would be an answer to the question. I'm saying, what would be a more obvious question? Esther Farhesi Havai.
How could Mordechai?
Not Mordechai, with Esther.
What would be a more obvious question?
It was Farhesi. How could she do it? There's a more obvious question. It was Gilui Arayos. The Gemara asks, oh, how could Esther go live with Achashverosh? It was Bifar Hestia. It was in front of other people. What about the fact that it was Gilui Arayos? You don't living with Achashverosh.
Okay,
it's Gilui Arayos Bifar Hestia.
Even without Farhesia, it should have asked, what do you mean? The Isser itself demands that one give one's life.
No, one
could do it to somebody you're not married to.
No. Gilui Arayos is only somebody.
No, if it's, again, this is our question. Bia with a Nachri, that's our question.
You're
assuming that Nachri is not. So, Zakhtar Rabbeinu Tam, Lo Parfa Esther Gilui Arayos, Havia. That's Rabbeinu Tam's, you guys are exactly articulating Rabbeinu Tam's proof. He's saying that clearly. Bia with a Nachri is not an erva. It would not be Gilui Arayos. You would not be obligated to give your life. Any Isser Bifar Hesia, you're obligated to give your life for. Even eating non-kosher and shatnis. Ones. Of course. That what is Yehari Val Yavor if not Ones?
I'm going to kill you if you don't
eat
Bifar
Hesia,
you can't.
Bifar Hesia, it's Yehari Val Yavor. Now look at the next line in Rabbeinu Tam. This is the key for us. This is the underline in source 13. Umitoch kach hiti Rabbeinu Tam lebas Yisrael shehimira. You have a Jewish woman who is an apostate. She leaves the faith. She goes off the derech. Uba aleha obed kochavim, and she has a relationship with a non-Jew during that period. Rabbeinu Tam was matir lekaima leoso obin kochavim kishen eskayer. You got another sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Very famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. You have a Jewish woman who has an illicit relationship with a Nachri. Okay? She's married. She's an Eishes Ish. She has a relationship with an obin kochavim. When that guy is at some point he is miskayer, he becomes a Jew, Rabbeinu Tam would allow them to get married. Even though he was the Boel. Even though she had a marital affair, consensual marital affair with this guy. So we'll get to that. That's okay. Hold off on that for a second, because that's the Ritzvah's argument, but Rabbeinu Tam does not marshal that argument. We have a principle of Gershon Eskayer Kakatan Shinola Dami. As we'll see, that's the Ritzvah's position. The Ritzvah says that's exactly why
maybe he's holding that there's no erva. So since there's no erva, then it's not considered anything. It's like sticking your finger in your eye.
So we'll have to... You're saying is not a bad point. We'll explore that further, especially when we get to the sheet of the Ramah. But that is that's the famous position of Rabbeinu Tam, that you have this woman. She has this relationship with a non-Jew. Rabbeinu Tam, after he is misgayer, Rabbeinu Tam would allow them to get married. He says it's like bias behema. We wouldn't say kashem shasur labal kach asur laboel. If the Boel is a mitzvah. Now, the Rivam asks a very famous kasha on Rabbeinu Tam. This is the bottom line in source 4. The Ein Nira L'Rivam. The Rivam thinks that that's incorrect. He thinks the Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Why? And he brings a very strong proof. Ta'al Yedei Bias Obed Kochavim, page 5, Ne'esra L'Baila. We know for a fact that when there is an Obed Kochavim, that is Boel and Isha, she is prohibited to her husband. That much we know. Kita Amar Hacha, the Ika Prutzos, the Ika Prutzos. In this Gemara in Ksubos, we say that if there are Prutzos who would engage in this relationship willingly with this local political ruler, what would happen? They would be prohibited to their husbands. The Rivam is saying, clearly, we know for a fact that this woman is prohibited to her husband. So Rabbeinu Tam, you're going to tell me that she's prohibited to her husband, but not prohibited to the Boel? Not prohibited to the person with whom she had the affair? The Rivam says that doesn't make any sense. How can you tell me that she's going to be asura to her husband? She's going to be prohibited to her husband. She's going to be permitted to her paramour, to the person with whom she had a marital affair.
Well, maybe the reason is because you don't know who the child is. So we asura only for practical reasons.
No, there's not, the child is not, child's no, not no. an issue. Child's not an issue here. Alma, look at the next underline in the Tosos in source 13. Amal gabe bailo lo chashiva be'ilas mitzri kibiyas behemab huadin leboel. Rivam says, clearly, even when the Boel is an Ovid Kochavim, there's an Isser LeBaal and an Isser LeBoel. Now, let's take a look at source 14 for a moment. Let's actually hold off on source 14 for a second. So now we have two positions in the Rishonim. We have Rabbeinu Tam, who says that when the Boel is an Ovid Kochavim, if he were to convert, there would be no Isser whatsoever, they could get married, it would be perfectly fine. And then we have the Rivam, who says that clearly there's an Isser LeBaal, we know that from certain Gemaras, there must be an Isser LeBoel as well. Now, to answer for Rabbeinu Tam, against the Kasha of the Rivam, we would have to be Machalik between the Isser LeBaal and the Isser LeBoel. What would Rabbeinu Tam say to the Rivam? You're right. There is a prohibition to her husband, that's true. Nonetheless, there's no prohibition to the Boel, to the Ovid Kochavim. How you learn Vinitzma, Vinitzma. Possibly. We're going to hold off on that probably until next week. But how do we explain this discrepancy of Rabbeinu Tam? How do we explain the fact that he would be matir to this issue? So I want to highlight, so in order to answer for the Rambam and for Rabbeinu Tam, I want to highlight the issue through a machlokas that actually appears in the Achron. And here I want to refer to the supplemental Ma'ar Mekomos sheet. I want to deal with the following case. A woman is married. She's an Eishes Ish. Okay? And she has an affair with a Katan. Who's less than, let's say, there are different ages, right? Let's say he's less than 9 years old. Generally, a Katan is what? Below the age of 13. For the purposes of Arayos, for the purposes of Isurei Bia, we consider a Katan capable of Bia at the age of 9. So let's say now she has an affair with a Katan, who's less than 9 years old. Let's take a look at what the Ma'ar Mekomos have to say about this. Look at source 1. Vayikra Perek Chav Pasuk Yod. V'ish asher yin af es eishes ish, asher yin af es eishes re'ehu. A man who has an affair with an eishes ish, the wife of his friend, mos yumas hano'ef v'hano'afes. So they should both be put to death. Morty correctly points out that the word there is ish. Look at the Bavli and Mesechus Kiddushin Daf Yud Tesem and Aleph. The context is a question about yud, which is we're not going to get into. The question is what? Basically, the Gemara wonders whether or not there can be a real halachic marriage for a katan. And the Gemara makes the same drasha that Morty just made. Look at the underline. Amar Rabbi Zeira Tashma ish prat lekatan. If the boel. He needs to be an ish, the pasuk says. He needs to be a grown man. If he's a katan, if he's less than 9 years old, there's no onesh misa. We don't put them to death. Asher yin af es eishes ish. Right? The word ish is there used again. It has to be an affair with the eishes ish, the wife of an ish, namely the wife of a gadol. Not the wife of a katan, prat le'eishes katan. So we see that if there is an affair between a married woman and a katan who's less than 9 years old, there is no punishment of Misa. Now take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in source 3. Evan Ezer Simon Chav Seif Aleph. Here, the Shulchan Aruch, I'll give you the context. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about different, really different types of sexual acts that may or may not create arayos, and may or may not create an iser to her husband. And it definitely gets quite graphic at certain points, but it's important to know the halacha does not shy away from these things. The halacha feels it necessary to address all particular circumstances and recognizes that these things do come up. That's just a nature of the human condition. And the halacha is not afraid to address any of the cases, no matter how graphic they are. We're going to avoid the more graphic parts for this evening, but that's the context. And in that context, the Rama discusses exactly our circumstance. Look at the underline. Isha gedola shabaa leha katan pachos miben teisha shanim. A grown woman, a married woman, who has an affair with a katan less than 9 years old, eina chayeves misa al yada. She's not punished. She is no onesh misa. She's not punished. V'nirali, tuhu hadin eina ne'eseres al baila. The Rama adds, and this is his own chiddush, it appears to me that she also will not be prohibited to her husband. V'lachin kosef harav ba'al haturim. The ba'al haturim here is not referring to the gematrios that you have al haturim. It was written by the same person. Here he's referring to the author of the tour, the four halakim of tour upon which the Shulchan Aruch is based, the son of the Rush. This is why the tour wrote, Har Beidinim Emas Achayavim Misa Olo. That's why we have to discuss all these graphic circumstances. In this situation, are they Chayav Misa? In that situation, are they Chayav Misa? Nafka Mina Bezman Azeh. What's the halachic relevance in our times? What's the significance of that? We're not giving them Misa anyway, right? Nobody's punishing them. Nobody's giving them capital punishment. What's the Nafka Mina? Be'ezabiyah, Ishana Esaras Alvaila. The reason why the tour goes through all of these circumstances is in order to determine what? When a woman is prohibited to her husband. Assumption of the Ramah. A woman is only prohibited to her husband when she is punished with Misa. Okay? Now, if I had to ask you, what is this reminiscent of in the Rishonim that we saw? If anything? Something we saw in the Ravid. What was the Ravid's second kasha on the Rambam? Hasra, right? This is certainly reminiscent of the Hasra point. The Ravid says there can only be an Isser Laba'al when there is proper Hasra. When there's proper Hasra, that was the assumption of the Ravid. Now, the Ramah doesn't have to go as far as the Ravid. The Ramah can say, in any circumstance where there would be a Chi of Misa, if you had Hasra, then there would be an Isser Laba'al. You don't actually need Hasra to be in place. You need there to be a potential Chi of Misa if Hasra were in place. That the Ramah can say that. But certainly we have this tendency in the Ramah, and the Ravid even going a step further, to associate the Isra Baal with what? With some form of Chiyuv Misa. Look at verse 4. The Shvut Shvus Yaakov, we're going to come back to this tshuva three times, because it's, I don't know the biographical information, embarrassingly. I'll have to look that up. But we're going to come back to this tshuva multiple times over the course of this sugya, because it's a very important tshuva. I should really thank my brother, he sent me on the trail to finding this tshuva. It's quoted in the Mishnah Melech. Me'inyin le'inyin ba'oso inyin. He's in the middle of discussing this whole notion of k'shem she'asur l'ba'al, kach asur l'ba'al. He kashti al ma'ashakosav harav Ramah. I have a kasha on what the Ramah wrote, b'hagah b'evan ha'ezer simen chaf, t'chol isho she'ina chayeves misa al yado eino ne'aseres al baila. I have a big kasha on his assertion that whenever there is no chi of misa, there's no prohibition to the husband. V'lachin kosav harav ba'al turim ha'bredinim emesai chayev misa olov, v'naf kamina b'zvan azeh ad kam l'shono. He quotes the Ramah. Then he argues. Look at the second underline. The third line over there. V'atama t'miya kayemes. I have a major problem with this. T'hama shamesh be'ever meis, eino chayev misa. Now he's going to get into one of those graphic cases. Let's say you have somebody who's impotent, who's not capable of normal sexual activity because of some dysfunction, because of some medical condition, or stam a case where somebody is mishamesh be'ever meis. I'm sorry? No. Not Meshamesh, but Isha Mesa.
Basically, yes.
Aver Mesa is impotency. He's not capable of being Miskasha. That's how we'll put it. That's the term that the Gemara uses. That's what we'll term for now. That's the Gemara's way of referring to, let's say, impotency. Or somebody who's not necessarily impotent, somebody who's incapable, but that happens to be the act that they performed. Meshamesh, but Aver Mesa, Kamosh Kosovat Tur. In that case, there is no Chiyuv Mesa. And yet, the Shvus Yaakov points out, it appears as if there is an Isser Laba'al. Now, the way the Shvus Yaakov attempts to prove that there's an Isser Laba'al is not at all obvious. And it's something that we're going to revisit. He tries to prove that there's an Isser Laba'al because of the Gemara in Soto, which says that there's kinoy and stira on a shachov. A shachov is somebody who's impotent. He can't perform normal sexual activity. And there's still kinoy and stira. So we'll work with the Shvus Yaakov's assumption now. We're going to challenge it in a later shir. But he's assuming that clearly that indicates that there can be an Isser Laba'al in this case of Shachlov, in this case of the impotent Boa, in this case of the impotent paramour, despite the fact that there is no Chiyuv Misa.